Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei. We are learning Lilui Nishmasa, Am Lezecher Nishmasa, Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Alaha Hashalem. May her neshama merit a continuous aliyah in the schus of her family's dedication to the Torah that is disseminated through this shir, through the chizak that I hope and I think we all derive, and through the Torah that will be shared this evening, Be'ezrat Hashem. So I want to thank everyone for joining. I know a number of our regulars are busy with different, I don't know, conflicts. They reached out to me to tell me that they wouldn't come. So Baruch Hashem, thank you to those who are able to join. We are going to be continuing our learning this evening in regard to the interplay, if you will, or the understanding of the ideas of Tov and Ra, good and bad. We have two different words, Tov and Ra. We have Puranus, Midas Tova, Midas Puranus. We have been through different psukim, Amam Rechazal, and we are exploring, learning about, delving into depth into an extremely difficult topic that affects all of our lives when we are afflicted with Yisurin. We do have a word for Yisurin because we do have afflictions. I'm going to begin in quoting Tales of the Righteous. It's a very nice book by Simcha Raz. Simcha Raz is the biographer of Rav Avraham Yitzchak Kohen Cook, an angel among men. Also, Simcha Raz is the biographer of Aryeh Levine, Zecher Tzadikim Uktoshim Levracha. This little book called Tales of the Righteous is a compilation of different teachings of different Hasidic rabbis, or rabbis, not only Hasidic. Okay, so I'm just going to begin as an introduction to tonight's year with the following story. Rav Eliyahu David Rabinowitz Ta'omim, known as the Aderet, was one of Europe's leading rabbinic figures. His daughter, who was extremely pious, passed away. The announcement was made that the funeral would be, the levaya would be at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. When the appointed hour arrived, a very large crowd assembled near the house, and the only one not there was the father of the deceased. His family explained that the rabbi had shut himself up in a room and it was impossible to bring him out. Those present were amazed to hear this because everybody knew about the Aderet's punctuality. Only after half an hour had passed did the rabbi come out of his room, and he explained to those present, "It is stated in our tradition, Kashem Shemavarchem al Tov, Kach Mavarchem al Hara, just like we bless over the good, so too we must bless over the bad. I examined my soul," continued the Aderet, "and I realized I had not reached the point in which I was ready to recite the words Baruch Dayan HaAmes, blessed is the true judge, which is the bracha that we make over calamities. I am ready to recite the traditional words, blessed be the true judge. I had not reached the point where I was ready to recite Baruch Dayan HaAmes, blessed be the righteous judge, with the same feeling that I blessed the Almighty with thanksgiving when my daughter was born. Therefore, I needed extra time to work on myself, to reach the point at which I could feel comfortable reciting the blessing over the good that came to me." Just as an introduction to our shir. We are going into tonight the Beis Halevi on Bitachon. It's a new sefer. Some of you may have it, put out by Aris Gromasora, the Beis Halevi on Bitachon. I have not learned through it yet, except for the chapter that I prepared for 3 weeks in a row. So if I prepare something and we don't get to it, I re-prepare. And then if we don't get to it that week, I re-prepare. So I have prepared this chapter 3 weeks in a row. Besides that, I have not studied it yet. However, I'm going to first quote as a second introduction before we get to the Beis Halevi on Bitachon. Beis Halevi, Rav Yashar Bar Soloveitchik of Brisk, whose son was Rav Chaim Brisker, whose son was the Griz, whose son is Rav Meshulam David Halevi Soloveitchik, who was just Niftar last week, Zecher Tzadikim Uktoshim Levracha. I'm first going to quote from another art school new publication, the Shar HaBitachon on the Chovas HaLevavos, which my brother and sister now gave me this past Hoshana Rabbah, which I still have not learned yet. But I'm going to quote from the introduction. I did learn from the introduction to the Shar HaBitachon on the Chovas HaLevavos. I should say the Chovas HaLevavos, Shar HaBitachon. And here, the Chovas HaLevavos describes or defines or differentiates between Emuna and Bitachon. And this will be the springboard to go then into the essay of the Beis Halevi on Bitachon. So in English, we translate Emuna as faith, and we translate Bitachon as trust. So I'm quoting from the introduction to the Shar HaBitachon of the Chovas HaLevavos. Emuna faith or belief. We just had the Sarasa Dibus on last week's parasha. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Perak Chav Pasuk Beis, Asher Tzitzicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Beis Avadim. It's a dibra, it's a declaration. It is a call to Jews, to every Jew and every generation, to believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Amuna, faith or belief, and bitachon, trust or reliance, are closely related ideas. But amuna is conceptual, while bitachon is practical. Right? So there's something that you could have a concept of, but not necessarily put into action. Amuna is conceptual, whereas bitachon is practical. A person with amuna knows in his mind and believes in his heart that Hashem can provide for all his needs, but he has not necessarily applied that conceptual faith to actual practice. So amuna is the knowledge that Hashem could do whatever he wants. It is the belief in my heart that God is in control, but it is in the stage of still being a concept. That concept, of course, must be applied. The application of the concept is known as bitachon. A person with bitachon, however, doesn't just believe in the concept. He, and it's italicized, leads his life in accordance with the knowledge and belief that Hashem provides for him. When facing a crisis, the person with true bitachon, which we translate as trust, which again is putting your amuna into practice. When facing a crisis, the person with true bitachon will not resort to desperate measures to save himself, nor will he take steps that are unbefitting him. Rather, the person with bitachon who is applying his amuna will deal with the situation in a way that reflects his conviction that only the Almighty can help him, and any measure he takes towards resolving his crisis will reflect the attitude of dependence upon God. Ultimately, the parenthesis notes that this is based on the classic work of the Chazon Ish, Amun Uvitachon, which we've quoted some of it from before in the Shir. The same applies with regard to the effort that one invests in terms of obtaining his income. The Chovos HaLevavos explains in this Sha'ar, the Sha'ar Bitachon, the Sha'ar of Trust, the gate of Trust, the person with Bitachon, trust, practical trust, will seek his income in ways that demonstrate his faith. Ultimately, he will receive no more and no less than Hashem has ordained for him. Actually, I'm going to stand up and get a Gemara. 1 second. So the Gemara teaches us that when, it wasn't in front of me because I didn't think of it when I prepared, that when a person ascends to the Olam HaEmes, he will be asked 6 questions. Right? Masechta Shabbos, Lamed, Aleph. He'll be asked 6 questions when he gets up to the Olam HaEmes. What are these 6 questions? Amar Rava, Rava said, B'sha'a shemachnisin Adam Ladin, at the time when they enter a person in, Machnisin Adam Ladin, after 120 years, we're all going to face the heavenly court. Amrimlo, they say to him, Number 1, Nasata Vinasata Be'emuna. Did you conduct your business transactions faithfully? And Rashi's on the second question. So Nasata Vinasata Be'emuna, did you conduct your business transactions faithfully? Were you honest in business? Were you trustworthy in business? There's a double meaning to this question. One is, were you honest in business? Unfortunately, sometimes the HR is very strong. Sometimes people are not honest in business. And the first question we're going to be asked is, Nasata vinasata be'emuna, or Nasasa vinasata be'emuna. It can also be understood as, did you have amuna when you conducted your business dealings? An amuna that God would provide. Really, those are one and the same interpretations, because if someone has amuna that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the provider, and he will always conduct his business dealings faithfully. He will feel no need, Rachmana Litzlan, to steal, to be dishonest. This week's parasha, Parshim Spratim. He will not charge interest, which is contrary to Torah. So they're really one and the same. Nasata v'nasata be'emuna. If you have amuna in the kol yachol, if you have ultimate faith and trust, I should say amuna and bitachon, in the ultimate one who provides, the zan es hakol, then you will always be honest in business. That's the first question we will be asked in the Olam HaEmes. I brought it up because this introduction to the Shar HaBitachon here discusses how we live our lives in times of crisis and how we live our lives in times of making parnasa. Is it a reflection of the application of Bitachon? It's very nice to talk about Emunah and say, I believe. But practically, when it comes down to it, how do we live our lives? Second question, Asakta Bepiria Urivia, were you, did you strive to be fruitful and multiply? See, Pisa Li Yeshua. Did you await, did you long for the redemption? Pipalta Bechachma, did you delve into wisdom in your learning? Excuse me. Hevanta Davar Mitoch Davar, when you learn Torah, did you learn it deeply and infer one thing from another? Well, the first question is in regard to business dealings, were they be'emunah? And again, the two interpretations are really one and the same, because if a person has emunah in the Ribbono Shel Olam as the provider, then of course you will be honest in your business dealings. Going back to the introduction to the Shar HaBitachon here. The same applies with regard to the effort one invests in obtaining his income. The Chovos HaLevavos will explain in this Sha'ar, a person with Bitachon, remember, that's practical trust. It's the application of the idea or the theory of faith. A person with Bitachon will seek his income in ways that demonstrate his faith. Nasata v'nasata be'emuna. That he will ultimately, he understands, receive no more and no less than God has ordained for him. The Ramban, in addressing the relationship between Emunah and Bitachon, so far they have quoted the Chazon Ish, the Chovos HaLevavos, and now we're moving on to the Ramban. In addressing the relationship between Emunah, which is faith in theory, and Bitachon, which is the practical application, and I trust in God through my actions, explains that Bitachon is an outgrowth. And I like this analogy very much. Stay tuned. It's Bitachon, trust, is an outgrowth of Emunah. What does that mean? Emunah, faith, is like a tree. Bitachon, reliance, is like the fruit that the tree produces. So Emunah, you could say, is the root, or the bark, or the branch. The fruit of that is Bitachon. Emunah, therefore, can exist without Bitachon. A person can have Emunah and Hashem and still not live a life of Bitachon. In theory, I believe in God. In my head and in my heart, I believe in God. But then you look at this person who lives in such a fashion that does not reflect reliance upon God. Because it's possible for a tree to grow and something goes wrong, and it doesn't bear fruit. So Emunah can exist without Bitachon. It can. But Bitachon cannot exist without Emunah. Because Emunah gives birth to Bitachon. Recognizing and believing that Hashem controls all events, and it's sometimes very difficult, but we recognize and we believe. Right? Even the painful things in life are controlled by God, enables us to rely upon Hashem to fulfill our needs, whether in moments of crisis or in periods of tranquility. So that again is from the introduction of the art school edition of the Shar HaBitachon of the Chovos HaLevavos. That's the only thing so far I learned from the Sefer. But Ezer Hashem, I will get to it. I need to get a tissue. I thought I had one in my pockets and I don't. It's just on the coffee table. One sec. Okay, with that, let us now move into the Beis HaLevi on Bitachon. I'm not starting from the beginning of this essay. I am skipping to Perchov Gimel, chapter 23. Geder HaBitachon HaMe'ula. It is obviously recommended that a person begin at Perek Aleph and work up in stages. But since we have been discussing this idea that there's a very high level where tzaddikim perceive everything as good, sometimes which the Hamon Am has a lot of difficulty perceiving. Remember a few weeks ago, Rabbi Zev left and the sinking ships. Okay, so the guy thought he had so much Emunah, he's ready to speak for the whole Oilam on the gathering of Emunah. Then he heard his whole fleet sunk and he ends up in the hospital. So they go visit him, they say, what happened? You had so much Emunah. He said, yeah, that's when the ships were still floating. When he told me they sunk, that was it. Geder HaBitachon HaMe'uleh. The gate of ideal reliance on Hashem. The Beis HaLevi here describes how a person with true bitachon is to think and act, and we've already distinguished, based on the Chazon Ish and the Ramban and the Chovos HaLevavos, obviously very in brief, but a synopsis of the difference between emunah and bitachon. Umigadra haboteach ha'me'ula. And now we are moving into the definition of one boteach ha'me'ula. He was bitachon of such a high level. A wonderful, superb, it's translated here as superb, one who is superb bitachon. So what is superb bitachon? She'yelo ha'bitachon, that he should have this trust in God. Lo rak biyadayim b'miur ha'malacha v'libo malei ritzono. Not only should he demonstrate bitachon with his hands, with his actions, by minimizing b'miur ha'malacha, by minimizing his work, v'libo malei ritzono, while his heart is full of desire still. So it's not enough to minimize your work. In other words, I'm not going to apply myself, I'm not going to do so much ishtalas, because Hashem will provide. My pranasa was anyway decided by the asar shimi teshuva, but in my heart of hearts, I really am not on that level. That's not a high degree of bitachon, because in your heart of hearts, you still have some questions, you're still unsure, you don't have true reliance, bitachon, practical application of trust in God. Because this person does not really have bitachon, trust in God, in his heart. V'ikar ha-bitachon talui believe. And the ikur, the root of bitachon, must be rooted in your heart. Again, if you have true amunah, and then you apply it practically, the practical application is because it's rooted in my heart. And it comes to the fore, it comes to fruition, the fruits grow. But you need to have strong roots, you need to have a strong bark, you need to have a healthy tree, or for sure won't yield fruit. So you need to have a healthy, trusting heart in God, in order for it to yield fruit. By the way, I'm not giving anybody messer. Believe me. Should I tell you a geshmak vart? I was not going to say this tonight, because I really don't want you to think I'm giving you messer. I'm not. It's just unbelievable. It's so convenient being at home, because I could take whatever safer off the shelf I need that I didn't even, wasn't even planning to have. I miss everyone in person, but there are some benefits. Okay, this is geshmak. Since I don't have commutes anymore, and when the weather's not good, I don't go for fast walks outside anymore, I have less time to listen to Shi'ur. So Baruch Hashem, on Monday afternoon, I had a drive, half hour each way, I was able to listen to Nushir Barabai Zavlev. Oh my gosh. I'm going a little bit on a tangent, but it's absolutely tremendous, because I don't want anyone to think that I'm giving bitachon. That's not what I want you to think. I don't want anyone to think Michal is giving you musar. I'm really working on Michal Horowitz. If you want to listen, we can work on this together. May the Ribbono Shel Olam save us. Anyway, help us and save us. Okay, this is absolutely tremendous. Oh my gosh. There's a Shem Parshas Yisro. But he went back to Sefer Bereishis. In Perek Dalet of Sefer Bereishis, you have the story of Cain and Hevel. Cain kills Hevel. It's a little off topic, but you want to hear it's beautiful Torah Var. It's unbelievable. Okay, so what happens? You have two brothers. Cain kills Hevel. First murder, first brothers, first murder. Great for sibling relationships throughout time. Why does Cain kill Hevel? Because he's jealous. Cain brings an offering, flax, God rejects it. Hevel brings an offering from his sheep, he shears the sheep, God accepts it. Cain kills Hevel. Before he kills him, okay, so the pasuk says, "V'hevel hevi." I'm in Perek Dalet, pasuk Dalet. "V'hevel hevi gamhu mibichorot sono mechalvehen." Hevel brought from the firstborn of his sheep and from their fats. He brought the choicest portion. "V'yish Hashem el hevel ve'al minchaso." God turned to Hevel and to his offering. "V'al Kain ve'al minchaso losha." God did not turn to Cain and his offering. "V'yichar l'Kain me'od." Cain is very angry. "V'yiplu panav." His face fell. Rabbi Zavlov said, now you have the first Musar Shmuz in the Torah. Vayom Hashem al Kayin, I love the word so much when we were sitting down at Sapa, then my husband told me something about work, about something that one of the higher ups in his previous company did. I said, I have to tell you Bar Torah about that. Vayom Hashem al Kayin, and Hashem said to Kayin, Lama Charalach, Rabbi Zavlov said, God gives the first Musar Shmuz in Torah. And Hashem says to Cain, Lama charalach? Why are you angry? V'lama naflu panecha? Why did your face fall? Hashem gives him chizuk. Why are you angry? Hello, im teiti, from the word tov, relates to shir a little bit. If you do good, say, you will be lifted up. V'im lo teiti, but if you do not do good, lapetach chatat rovetz. At the entrance, sin crouches. So if you want to do good, ubacharta b'chaim l'man techia, if you want to do good, you could be lifted up again. You could do teshuvah. Don't worry. You don't have to stay smutna punim your whole life. But if you don't do good, sin crouches at the door. The eilecha tishu kasu, and sin desires you. The yetzer hara wants you. The ata timshobo, but you could rule over the yetzer hara. Hashem gives him a musar shmus. And what's the very next pasuk? Vayomer Kayin al Hevel Achiv, Perek Dalet Pasuches. Kayin says to Hevel his brother. It does not say what Kayin says to Hevel his brother. And then, Vayu Boyosim Basada, it was when they were in the field. Vayokam Kayin al Hevel Achiv, Vayahargeu. Kayin gets up against Hevel's brother, he kills him. Something is unsaid. It does not say what Kayin says. So there are midrashim. They were fighting over world dominion. They were fighting over Har Habayis. They're fighting over who's going to rule the world. We don't know what he says. Perich dala pasuches. Okay, what's the sequence? Kain gets a musar shmuz. I see you're downcast, but don't be so upset. You can lift yourself up again if you do good. Otherwise, the Yetzer Hara is waiting to catch you. He's desiring you. But you can do it. You could rule over him. Vayomer Kayin al Hevel Achiv. Kayin says something to Hevel's brother while they're in the field. And it was when they were in the field, and Kayin gets up and he goes to Hevel's brother and he kills him. What did he say? We don't know. The Midrash tells us. But Rabbi Zev Lev said, there's a study of Pshuto Shel Mikra. And he quoted Rav Kuperman Zatzal. He said, Rav Kuperman Zatzal, I was in Michla many years ago. I had Rav Kuperman. I don't remember. I remember going to Poland with Rav Kuperman. Tremendous Talmid Chacham. Revolutionized women's learning as well. So he quoted Rav Kuperman Zatzal. He says, Rav Kuperman says there's Pshutos HaMikra. There has to be something understood from the Torah text. What do we understand from the Torah text that Kayin actually could have said to Hevel? So Rabbi Zavlev quoted the Ibn Ezra. So I came home, of course, I was in the car, and I quickly went to look up the Ibn Ezra. Esti, do you know this? Because you're smiling. You know this part? You heard the Shir Barabbi laugh, like Michal Aretz said? So what does Ibn Ezra say? Hakarov Eli, I think, Sha'amar lo kol ha-tochacho shochichu Hashem. Ibn Ezra says, you know what the Pshuto Shemikra is? It doesn't tell you what Kayin said, but based on the sequence, Kayin's jealous, God appears and gives him a mushroom smooth, and Kayin says to Hevel's brother, stop sign, and he got up in the field and he killed him. So Ibn Ezra says, Hakarov Eli, what is close to me, Sha'amar lo kol ha-tochacho shochichu Hashem. Kayin told Hevel all the mussar Hashem gave him. V'sho'alim. Oh, someone said this over. 1 second. Oh, yeah? Did you call Rabbi Lef? Oh, she also listens to Rabbi Lef. Okay, if you heard this already, you're going to hear it a second time, and you're going to have extra chizuk from it. Okay. Hakarov Eli, Sh'amar lo kol tochacho shochichu Hashem. What appears to me is that he told them all the mussar God gave him. V'sho'alim noldu b'yo. Okay, I don't need to read the rest. It was the first sentence. It was a point of Rabbi Lef Shir. Kayin goes to Hevel. And Kayin says to Hevel, do I have a musar shmuz for you? What was Rabbi Lef saying? And then he kills him. When we hear musar, we often think, that's great musar for the next guy. That has nothing to do with me. I'm not on this level. God can't possibly rebuke me. My face isn't sad. I'm already ruling over my Yetzer. It can't be for me. So Kayin hears a geshmak musar shmuz and he goes to Hevel and he says, do I have something to tell you? If you improve, God will lift you up. And if you don't improve, sin is crouching at the door. And Hevel says, what are you talking about? There's nothing to do with me. And Kayin tells Hevel. Rabbi Lev said that many decades ago, when he was a rabbi in Miami, he was very young, and he had congregants who were much older than him, and they were successful and established, and he didn't feel comfortable. There was one congregant who needed tochacha. I believe he said it was a lawyer, and he didn't know what to do, because he didn't feel he could rebuke him. So Rabbi Lev came up with a great idea, and he said, I'm going to make my Shabbos drasha about this topic. This man comes to shul on Shabbos. I'll give the mussar to the whole shul. Did she say this also, Esti? We don't plan our shiur together. So she said, I'm going to give this musar to the whole shul. So he gives, Rabbi Lef said, I give a fire and brimstone musar, Joshua. And after, this very guy who I was actually speaking to comes over to me with a big smile on his face. He gives out his hand and he says, good Shabbos, Rabbi. I said, good Shabbos. And the man says, was that ever a great Musar Shir? I hope whoever you meant it to be for, listen to what you said, because did you give it to them? Rabbi Lef said, that's really interesting, because I was talking to you. He didn't say that. That's what he said. He was thinking in his head. Ayomer Kain el Heva Achiv. What did Kain say to Hevel's brother? Hakarov Eli says, Ibn Ezra Sha'amar lo kol hatochachos shochichu Hashem. Kain hears a great Musar speech, and instead of thinking, this is about me, he goes and he tells. There's no one else to tell. Rabbi Lef said, it's only the two of them. He wants to tell somebody because it can't be for me. Musar, I don't need Musar. You need Musar. So he goes to Hevel and he gives Hevel the same Musar that God just gave him. And so he kills Hevel because he didn't want to appreciate, understand, recognize, absorb that it was for him. He told a humorous vignette. He said the opposite story. He said, is anyone here from South Africa? So they said, no. So he said, one time he was speaking in South Africa. He said, and I say this is complimentary to the South Africans. He said, there were 300 women who came to my shir. He said, not because my shir was so great, but because they had servants and maids who were running the house those days in South Africa. So nobody needed to, so they didn't have anything to do at home. So they heard there was a shir, they all came. And I was speaking about Tznius. He says, I didn't look at any of the 300 women they came in. I have no idea what they were wearing. But I was talking in general about Tznius, and I'm talking about how your clothing could meet all the, could cover all the places, and it could still be not Tznua. Then I hear rustling, and they pass me a paper, and I open the paper, and it says, Dear Rabbi Lef, I know you are speaking to me. I was in such a rush when I left the house. I grabbed this skirt. I promise I'm never going to do it again. And she signed her name. Rabbi Lef said, I did not know one woman in that audience. And you could rest assured when they came in, I did not check what anybody was wearing. And this woman, he was complimenting her, he said, she understood that I was talking to her. I thought it was the most brilliant shot of Kayan. And Heva. It's unbelievable. So when I tell you that I promise you, I'm not giving you Musar. Lichard has a long way to go. I'm just quoting the sources. And I really am talking to myself. Okay? So I got to share a beautiful verse with you. Let's go back. It can't just be that you live as if you have bitachon externally, but it's not internal. It can't just be biyadayim, and your lev is empty. It can't be in your hands, meaning externally I look like I live with bitachon, but my heart doesn't reflect the reality of reliance, trust in God. The ikar habitachon talui b'lev. You have to have the root to have the outgrowth. It has to be something in your heart. Kamamar hakasuv, like the pasuk says in Tehillim Chavches, bo batach libi. On him, my heart relied. By the way, the last pasuk of Parak Chavches of Tehillim is the song that Rabbi Dr. Twersky wanted, Urem V'Nasim Olam, Hoshia Samecha. It's the last pasuk of Parak Chavches. So it has to be in your heart. Va'al Kain, and a person who has the Miget Bitachon HaMe'uleh, such a high level of living with trust and reliance on God. Tzarich shagam libo uritzono yihiyu sheketim ushalevim. My gosh. You should live with menuchas hanefesh. You should live with yishuv hadas. The one who has the highest madriga bitachon, it's required that in his heart, libo uritzono, and his desires, you sheketim. It should be shaket. You shouldn't have internal turmoil. Ushalevim. You should have shalva. Art school translates those two words as calm and tranquil. Because that's true bitachon. That's the truest application of emuna. Emuna is in theory. If I live my life with shalva and shaket in my heart, menuchas hanefesh, tranquility of the soul, yishuv hadas, peace of mind, and I am truly one who has bitachon. V'lo yelo shum ratzon bilibo. And a person will remove any of his own desires from his heart. He won't have his own desires. Why won't I have my own desires? Because if ultimately I totally apply my faith and I live practically with bitachon, so I won't have worry. I won't have da'aga, my own word. It doesn't say that here. I've told you this, I'm sure. Ricky Fishbein told me many, many years ago that Daga is the first four letters of the alphabet, except for Beis. The agad is dalet aleph gimel hey. Okay, so it's aleph gimel dalet hey. What happens to the bays? Someone who has bitachon doesn't have daga. So the daga is missing the bays. Because if you have worry, you can't have this bitachon hameula. It's a contradiction. V'kol kach yitchazek bevitchono. He must so much strengthen himself in his bitachon. Shebivadai, certainly, ya'aselo kol ma shenitzrech l'tovaso. Did you hear what I just said? V'chol kach yischazek bevitchono. Shebivadai ya'aselo kol ma shenitzrech l'tovaso. He must strengthen himself so much in this practical application of trusting God that certainly, bivadai, certainly, he is so fortified that he knows whatever Hashem does, kol ma shenitzrach l'tovaso, everything that he needs and everything that is done is for his good. Ad sheyivatel ha'adam ritzon atzmo. Until a person is totally mivatel, until a person is totally nullifies completely his own desire. He doesn't have desire. He doesn't have wishes. His wishes and his desire are only what God wants for me. V'lo yelo shum ratzon rak asher yasa Hashem. He will not have any desire other than what God desires for him. U'kamamar hakasuv, like the pasuk says in Tehillim. Imlo shivisi, chapter 131, kuf lamed aleph. U'kamamar hakasuv, like the pasuk says. Imlo shivisi, vidomamti nafshi, kigamul alei imo. I swear that I was stilled. And I was silenced from the word dom, dam, silence. I was stilled and I was silenced, nafshi. I silenced my soul. Like what? Like a nursing child at its mother's side. So what does that mean? And what does that have to do with our conversation? So the Beis HaLevi says, in this pasuk, nefesh means ratzon. You should understand, I'm going to read you his lashon in a minute, that when David HaMelech says nafshi, I silenced my soul, it means he silenced his ratzon. V'nefesh b'lashana pasuk hu ratzon. I just told you that. That the word soul, nefesh, that appears in this pasuk, means ratzon, desire. So therefore, let's substitute now, let's reread the pasuk, with the understanding that nefesh is really nafshi, my soul is ritzoni. So here we go. Imlo shivisi v'domamti ritzoni. That's not what it says. Don't, when you say it's kapitel tehillim, change the actual word. It's the interpretation of the verse, according to the Beis HaLevi. Kigamul alei imo. I stilled and I silenced my desires, like a nursing baby. Now you could understand where he's going with this. What is a nursing baby desire? Whatever its mother gives the baby, that's what the baby's going to get. That's what the baby desires. Doesn't know more, he doesn't know less. He wants his mother's milk. Whatever she gives him, he has. Whatever she gives him, he's content with. The nefesh b'lashana pasuk hu ratzon. Nefesh in this pasuk means desire. The amar shehidmim v'hishtik kol ritzonosav. David HaMelech is saying that he made silent, dom, dalet mem, v'hishtik, shatek, quiet, kol ritzonosav. All of his desires, he silenced. He made quiet in the face of God's plans and desires for his life. Kagamul hazeh hasamuch al imo, like a suckling infant who is completely dependent upon his mother. V'derech hagamul be'eis hi gamlo mishidei imo. He is compared to an infant in the way that a suckling infant is weaned from his mother's breast. Ein lo ritzon gamla achila. When he's being weaned from his mother's nursing, he has no desire even for food. Ya'an lo hur galbo ad ko. He has not been accustomed to food until now. He doesn't even know that he desires more than his mother's milk. Al shadei imo, mishadei imo, because he never had anything but his mother's milk. He's not thinking of steak. He's not thinking of Cheerios. He's not thinking of applesauce. He's not thinking of oatmeal. He never even had it before. I'm not talking about once a kid's eating for 3 months. I'm talking about as he's being weaned, he doesn't even know that there's something else. He only knows his mother's milk. How could he have a time for anything if he doesn't know what it is? Rak imo no senis lo hamachal toch piv. His mother puts the food into his mouth. Whatever she puts into his mouth, that's what he eats. So if she gives him Cheerios, he doesn't know that there's such a thing as a lollipop. How should I know there's a lollipop? My mother gives me Cheerios. So in the morning and the night, I nurse. And in between, I get oatmeal and I get the squeeze tubes on the go and I get jarred food. And that's all I know. I don't dream of better things. I don't even know that there's anything else. Whatever she puts into his mouth, that's what the baby eats. He doesn't desire anything else. He doesn't even know that there's anything else. He only wants what his mother provides for him. So, imlo shi vizi v'domamti nafshi kagamul alei imo. I have silenced and stilled ritzoni, my desires, like a suckling infant. Why? Whatever the suckling infant gets, that's what he wants from his mother. He doesn't dream of more. He doesn't even know that there's more. V'chein hisnahag David, hisnahig David HaMelech, alav hasham. And this is how David HaMelech, may his memory be for a blessing, behaved, practiced, lived his life. Excuse me. Shebita me'atzmo kol ratzon. He freed himself of all his ratzon, of all personal desire. Rak asher yasa Hashem hu ritzono. Whatever Hashem put into his mouth, so to speak, like the mother who puts the food into the baby's mouth, that was his desire. He didn't want more than God put into his mouth, just like the baby doesn't want more than the mother puts into his mouth. The baby doesn't know there's more. A person who has this bitachon rooted in his heart does not desire more than what God gives him. Ki ein mi sheyodeh mahu hatov lifnei ha'adam kabori yisparach. There is no one who knows what is mahu hatov, what is good for the person, kabori yisparach, like the Creator. Footnote. So again, this is an art school publication, so like all of their works, the text is on top. Here it is elucidated with translation, and on the bottom, they have ha'oros, insights, and footnotes. I'm going to take a break for a moment from the essay to go to the art scroll footnote, which obviously relates to the essay, or it wouldn't be here. Mesiras nefesh, that's what it's called. The term mesiras nefesh, which literally means moser nefesh, to give over one's soul, to give over one's life, because here David HaMelech, in his kapitel, in this pasuk, is talking about his nafshi, his soul. So the art school footnote is now going to go into a short essay on being moser nefesh and giving up our soul for God. It's not only talking about in death, it's talking about in life also. It's often used to describe those who give up their lives for the sake of God. Another kind of moseris nefesh, however, is surrendering one's will, surrendering one's desire. Imlo shi visi v'tomamti nafshi. I have made my ratzon, my desire, my soul silenced and mute before you. That's a kind of mesiras nefesh. Mesiras nefesh can also be surrendering one's will, surrendering one's desire. One way to do this is by restraining our wishes and desires for the sake of observing the Torah law. So the Torah says, this week's parsha, lo sevasha gedi b'chelev imo, parshas mishpatim, it's said three times in the Torah, we're not allowed to cook gedi b'chelev imo, you're not allowed to eat gedi b'chelev imo, and you're not allowed to have hana. You can't mix basar b'chalav, meat and milk, three times. Why? You can't eat it, you can't cook it, you can't benefit from it. So, let's say, I don't know, I'm having steak for supper, and I want butter on my steak. I know nobody in the shir will do that, but I'm just using it as an example. For us, it's not really mesiras nefesh, but it's a mitzvah in the Torah, and for many Jews and for many generations, it was mesiras nefesh. So I really want butter on my steak, not margarine, not soy balance or whatever it's called. I want butter on my steak, garlic butter on my steak. Oh, but wait a second, the Torah tells me in Parshas Mishpatim, lo sevasha gedi b'chelev imo, not allowed to cook the steak in butter. I'm not allowed to eat the steak with butter. I can't sell the steak with butter because that'll bring me benefits. So what should I do? So to be mesiras nefesh, and again, we could apply many practical ideas for our own lives. I'm using it as an example. It's easy. We have so many desires of the Yetzer Hara that are contrary to Torah. So it's moser nefesh to submit my nefesh, my ratzon, to the will of God. However, continuing with this short essay, as an addendum to the main essay of the Beis HaLevi, in light of the Beis HaLevi's teachings, we can understand an additional form of mesiras nefesh, accepting whatever Hashem does. Being able to accept my life, the nisyonos of my life, the struggles. It doesn't mean not davening, but while you're davening, there has to be some degree of acceptance. Remember shalva, shaket? This too is a form of self-sacrifice, acceptance of the divine will. As we surrender our emotions and personal opinions to his will, never feeling our wishes are unfulfilled, we wish for ourselves what Hashem wishes for us, with firm belief that, quote, he wants only the very best, which is something we've been discussing over at least the past 4 weeks. I think 6 weeks we started in the Gemara Maseches Brachos, K'shem Shem Barachem Al Tov, Kach Barachem Al Ra. With firm belief that he wants only the very best for us. No wonder this is already halfway through the essay in Perichav Gimel, because it's a bitachon hame'uleh. Several times each day in the Kriya Shema, we recite the Torah's command to love Hashem. We've spoken about this pasuk many times in class, Devarim 6:5. V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha, you should love the Lord your God, b'chol levavcha, with all your heart, b'chol nafshecha, with all your soul, b'chol ma'odecha, with all your ma'od, with all your very much. The sages explain b'chol levavcha, it's quoted in Maseches Brachos, but Rashi quotes in a Chumash, we've spoken about it many times, b'chol levavcha, with all your heart. With your good, Rashi says, b'shnei yitzirecha. That's why there's two bases. Why doesn't it say b'chol libcha? What kind of word is b'chol avavcha? I have a leiv, so it should be libcha. There's two bases, because you have your yetzer hatov and your yetzer hara. So you should serve God b'shnei yitzirecha with both of your inclinations. I.e., not only by following our inclination to do the right thing, that's serving God with my yetzer hatov, so that's not putting butter on the steak, I just followed my inclination to do good. But also by restraining ourselves and subduing our sinful instincts. That's serving God with your Yetzer Hara. Subduing your desire, your sinful instinct, for the sake of observing God's command. So when I rule over my Yetzer Hara, Va'ato Timshobo, God said to Cain, you could rule over it if you try. If you want to, what did Cain do? He went to heaven and he said, you're not going to believe the Musar I have for you. God was talking to Cain, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to Micha Oretz, Hashem is saying, you're telling other people? You need the Musar. I do need the Musar. Uvachal nafshecha, with all your life, means that we must love Hashem, even if this requires surrendering our lives. Afilu no taas nafshecha, Rabbi Akiva, Brachos 60M, Samech Aleph. Thirdly, b'chol me'odecha, with all your ma'od. Rashi gives two pshatim, if you remember. One is b'chol me'monecha, with all of your money. And the other is b'chol mido umida shamo de'decha, ben b'mido tova, ben b'mido pranus. That each and every measure that he dishes out to you, that he measures out to you, whether it is a midah tova, a good portion, a good measure, or midah peranus, tribulations.
Mom.
Oh, you scared me, yes.
Bye.
Whew, take a reflector, please, or the reflector jacket. I had no idea what time it was. He's going to 9:50 Marv. I literally just looked at the clock now. Okay, we're just going to finish this. Thirdly, b'chol me'odecha, with all your resources, means loving Hashem ubechol, and with all, regardless of what he gives us, regardless of what he does for us, regardless of what he does to us. These three expressions, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your ma'od, refer to the three forms of mesiras nefesh. Remember, im lo shivisi v'domamti nafshi. I have silenced and stilled my desire, like a suckling infant who doesn't want anything other than what his mother gives him. These refer to the three forms of mesiras nefesh that are required of us. One, controlling our sinful impulses. Two, being prepared to make the ultimate sacrifice for God. And three, listen carefully, accepting everything he does without questioning his decisions, confident that everything he does is for the best. It's an avodah of a lifetime. Not for people who are on the level of the bitachon ha'me'uleh, or for myself. Maybe if anyone is on my level. I don't know. When God gives me musar, I have to listen. I don't have to go tell it to other people. I'm talking to you. Cain looks for the only person in town. He says, you're not going to believe this musar shmus. You're not going to believe it. I have to tell you, Abel. Like a shmack for during Kriya Shema, when we are makaba all malchus shemayim, We are expected to surrender ourselves to God's will. And one of the ways we accept his will is by forfeiting our wishes, trusting that his desires and his wishes, quote, are the very best thing for us. Be'ezrat Hashem, next week, we finish that essay of Artskoa. We will go back into the body of the essay of the Beis Halevi on Bitachon. Ribbono Shel Olam should help me to hear and accept the Mussar. That's why he tied into Parshas Mishpatim, actually, even though it was Parshas Yisro Shir. Why do you bore the ear? You want to hear? If you have to go, I know, you could go. Okay? I'm not insulted. Why does you bore the earlobe of the Eved Ivri? It's the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim. It was really a Parshas Yisro Shir. But why do you bore the earlobe of the Eved Ivri if he wants to stay past 6 years? Because the ear that heard at Sinai, B'nai Yisro, are my servants, didn't listen, and he wants to remain an indentured servant. He loves his master. Ahavti es ishti ves banai. I love it here. It's so good for me. I don't want to leave. So you put his ear by the doorpost. The doorpost paid testimony in Egypt with the blood that Bnei Yisrael are chosen by God. And you take the earlobes. Rabbi Lef said, why do you bore the earlobe? You hear with the inner ear. You should put a nail through his inner ear, pierce his eardrum. The earlobe hears nothing. What does the earlobe hear? Nothing. You don't hear from here. My degree is in audiology, actually. I did very well. My professors were disappointed in Mishael Horowitz, who didn't go to work in audiology. Okay? The earlobe hears nothing. My kids, we were looking at old picture albums. We just found the pictures from anatomy when we dissected a brain many years ago when I was in Brooklyn College. Fantastic master's program. Okay, I'm bachelor's. So here, your earlobe heard nothing. So you should put a pin through his middle ear into his inner ear and you drill. Now he really won't be able to hear. Now you just took out the cochlea. Now you destroyed the hair cells. Now you can't hear anything. The earlobe didn't hear anything. That's exactly right, says Rabbi Zevav. He didn't hear anything. The earlobe is meant to direct the sound. The whole outer ear is meant to cup, you know, sometimes a person can't hear, so they'll cup their ear to direct the sound. The part that was meant to direct the sound inward was lacking. Sometimes when we hear Musar, we don't direct it inward. We think it's talking to anybody else but me. And even if there's only one other person in the world, well, it must be God, you're speaking to him, not to me. So we should have the koach, the humility, the siyata d'shmaya, the courage, the tranquility, the theoretical amuna and practical bitachon, to know when the Ribbono Shel Olam is talking to me. And he should give each one of us, I'm giving myself a bracha if I can, the ability to live by these teachings and apply them in our everyday lives. May the Hashem of Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaShalom, create a continuous Aliyah in the Tzchus of the Torah that we shared this evening. And Be'ezrat Hashem, I truly look forward to continuing this next week. Thank you so much. I wish everybody a Chodesh Tov, Mishnechas Adar Marbim B'Simcha, and a wonderful Gat Shabbos. Thank you so much to all.